Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Hallelujah. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. We're talking about Jesus as our shepherd, but you got to make him your shepherd, right? I mean, it's easy to say, well, our shepherd, but is he your shepherd? Are you listening to him? Hallelujah. And you have to remember, I've said this before, but Jesus is, John said, he's our good shepherd. You have to remember that that's his present day ministry for you. Not in the sweet by and by, but it's for today. Jesus wants to be a shepherd for you in your life to take you down your path that he has already marked out for you before the earth was even here. Do you realize that? He has plans for you. And he's not thinking of, you know, well, what kind of plans can I think of? He's already got them established for you. I think it's Psalms 139. You need to read it. There's a book. And that book's about you. And that book is loaded with things about you. The things that you're to accomplish on this earth. The things that you're to do in the name of Jesus. There is a path for you. To do good works. Amen. And one day, those books will be opened. And the book and the works that you actually did will be compared to what he called you to do. Do they match? Or am I doing what I want to do? This is what I want to do. Well, what does the Good Shepherd, what does Jesus want you to do? There is some seeking him. There is some seeking him with your whole heart. The Bible says, delight yourself in him, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Other words, a lot of times, let me just say, a lot of times we get all worked up about what should I do? How do I know? How do I know what's God's will? How do I approach this? Listen, just relax. That's one thing you got. Just rest. Getting all worked up about it is not helping. You relax. You start delighting yourself in him. Get in his word. Get in his presence. And start delighting yourself in his ways, in his word. And then pretty soon, listen to me, his desires will start to come up in you. Those desires become your desires. It's just how it works. We're going to get to the message here in just a second. Years ago, I was trying to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I was one of those seekers you hear about, those 30-year seekers. I was one of those. Seeking and seeking, I worked myself up to a frizzy. I could almost pull my hair out. I was trying so hard. And my heart was so right. I mean, I was wanting it. I want everything God has for me, everything. Nothing was happening. And I decided this. I decided, you know what? I'm going to enjoy my salvation. Amen. I'm going to enjoy myself in him. Amen. I'm going to delight myself in him and enjoy salvation. Amen. You know what? Then things started happening. I just started delighting myself. The word delight means to be pliable, soft, sensitive. I was delighting myself in him, giving him praise, worshiping him. Just wasn't even thinking about being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Then all of a sudden, going home or going to work in my vehicle, all of a sudden I started speaking in tongues. Wasn't even thinking about it. Well, what was I doing? I was just delighting myself in Him. And He gave me the desires of my heart. Bam.
Amen.
No more wrestling. No more being all worked up about it. What am I doing wrong? What am I not doing right? All this stuff. No. Just rest. Enjoy your salvation. Enjoy healing. Enjoy the word salvation. Enjoy it. It's all been bought and paid, saints.
That's right.
A lot of times we get all worked up. Our heart's right. But when you get all worked up, then you're not in a place where God can talk to you. You're all worked up. You're not at rest. Anyway, hallelujah. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Let me get my glasses. It says, therefore, we also... Listen, let me say this before we get started. When you make Jesus your shepherd, whenever you can say, my shepherd, you have to remember this. He takes full responsibility for you. Do you realize what I just said? He is the overseer. He is the great shepherd. He'll oversee your life. In other words, He'll guide you. He'll provide for you. He will protect you. He will take full responsibility for your life if you allow Him to shepherd you. That's the key right there. You have to allow Him to be Lord. Like we were singing a song. He's holy. He is Lord of all. But you have to allow Him to be Lord over your life, to be a shepherd for you. You have a unique path. I can't walk in your path. No one else can walk in your path. You have works to do on your path. Think about how important this is, saints. No one else. You are designed for your path. He's marked it out for you. We're going to read it right here. It says, we're talking about a race. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. So it says we have a great cloud of witnesses around us, like a stand. You ever seen a NASCAR race? Oh yeah, we've all seen NASCAR races. If you don't, you need to get saved. We've seen NASCAR races, man. We'll say a couple years ago, because last year, I don't know. The stands are full, right? What are they doing? They're cheering us on. They're cheering on the racers. Saints, we have the old saints who've gone before us, and they're cheering us on. Why? Because we're in a race. We're on a path. We're all, each one on your own path. And we have a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, and they're cheering us on. It says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has set down to the right hand of the throne of God. Hallelujah. Looking unto Jesus. And we're talking about looking unto Jesus as your shepherd. He knows exactly how to get you to point A and from point A to point B. He knows the route to take you. It says to look unto Jesus.
Amen.
You know, you say, well, Pastor, you know, I feel like I'm at a standstill. Have you ever felt that? I mean, I think we've all gone through it. You ever felt that? Sort of at a standstill. We call that the Red Sea moment. Remember when Moses went, they came out of Egypt, bondage, out of the world system, and they're marching on, right?
Amen.
God's bringing them out of bondage, out of the world system. And they come to a Red Sea. And it sort of stops. Now get this. Moses says this. Of course, you can read this. I'm sure you've seen the story, right? The movie. Ten Commandments. Moses gets up and says this great speech, right? He'll stand still and watch or see the salvation of the Lord. I'm paraphrasing. A great speech, right? Well, was God enthused about it? Not too much, was he? It sounded good, but I guarantee you when he said that, you want to know what happened? Nothing. Think about it. A lot of these stories, saints, you just don't want to read them. You want to meditate in them. Spend some time. Picture yourself being there. Use your imagination for the good. We all use our imagination for the evil before we were saved. But when we get saved, people don't want to use their imagination. It's God-given. Picture it in your mind. He said that, and I guarantee you, minutes went by. Nothing's happening. Only thing's happening is the people are complaining and griping that Moses led them out to die. And the sound of the army coming. That's about the only thing he's hearing. Listen, you hear something I'm saying? Then God finally intervenes and says, why are you crying to me? Why are you crying to me? Speak to the children of Israel. Speak. Tell them to go what? Forward. Amen. What are you crying to me about? Remember when they went across the Red Sea? Jesus said, let us cross over. Remember that? Cross over to the other side. Yeah. You remember they get halfway across? And everything kind of stops. Mm-hmm. We call it the Red Sea moment. It kind of stops. Well, we better wake Jesus up. Boat's filling up. The ship's going down, folks. So they wake Jesus up. Jesus gets up. You know the story. He rebukes the storm. Everything's calm. And Jesus says this. He says, paraphrasing, put a little mustard on this. He said, what? We're only halfway across? We should have been. What are you doing? How is it that you have no faith? So what's the connection? They had the word. Moses had the word. Where's he taking them to? He's taking them to the promised land. He knows exactly where he's going. He's got the word on it. He's got the staff, which represents the power and authority of God. He's already been using it. And here's the disciples going halfway across. They got the word. They got the authority to go across with the word. And they're stopped. They're stuck. God is not amused in both places. God expected Moses and he expected the disciples to go right on across to the other side. That tells me a lot of our battles are lost because we're crying out to God to do something and he's already equipped you to go across. So why stop? Saints, we gotta keep moving. That's probably maybe what I should call this. You have to keep moving. Amen. You got the word. God has marked out a path for you. He's got a path for you. Keep moving on the path. But it's Red Sea moment. You got the word. Do something. Amen. Well, I'm just waiting for things to line up. Well, how's that working for you? Speak.
That's good preaching, Brother Chuck.
You know?
Amen.
It's about saying God wants to take us up higher.
Yes.
He is a good shepherd. And we're going to get into Psalms 23 real quick here. I'm not going to... We got plenty of time. God wants to take all of us to another level.
Amen.
On your path, there's always another level. The word prosperity. Remember, some of these things I've already said before, but in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, God was wanting to take Israel to the next level, right? The next level was promised land. So God gives Joshua the secret, the word. In your mouth, day and night, meditation, day and night. Why? In order that you can observe to do all that's written within the word, that you be a doer of his word. Get it in your mind, get it in your heart, renew the mind, get in your heart so that you can do. Come on, you got to do it, right?
Amen.
Yeah. Then it's after you do his word, you put it into practice, then things begin to happen.
Amen.
Then you will prosper.
Amen.
You know what the word prosper means? If you recall what I said last time, it means you look it up in your Strong's. It's not complicated. It means to move forward.
Amen.
It means to break out. Well, what do you mean to move forward? What do you mean break out? He's telling Joshua to break out where he's at and prepare to go what? To go to the next level.
Amen.
God's interested in all of us going to the next level.
Amen.
Listen, you know how it works in the natural. First grade. Does it stop? Y'all went further than first grade? Okay. First grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade. Time I got to fifth grade, I was thinking, will this ever end? I'm serious. Will I survive? Sixth grade, seventh grade. Even then, I was thinking, this is not going to end. We've all been there. Even in the natural, there's levels. Same thing spiritually, I guarantee you. There's levels. You may think there's not. And you may think, well, I have no calling. I am not called to fivefold ministry. I am not a Benny Hinn. Hey, listen, it doesn't matter. You have your own path. You have to walk it out.
Amen.
Your path, you are responsible to walk out what God has given you. All this is to edify and give God glory. He's given you a path designed for you to walk. Saints, there be no excuses. We're all going to stand before Jesus. So we might as well get this right now. Get it right. Keep moving.
Hallelujah.
Keep moving.
Amen.
Prosperity is all about moving.
Amen.
Moving. Advancement. I like the word advancement. That was another Hebrew dictionary that I tapped into. It said advancement.
Amen. Like an army.
God takes pleasure in your advancement.
Amen.
Don't ever think that your path doesn't mean anything. It's not important. I don't have no great calling. It has nothing to do with you comparing yourself to someone else. That is the worst thing you could ever do.
Come on.
You're on your path.
Amen.
Your path is unique.
Praise God.
And saints, it should be a path of joyfulness. It should be a path of joy. When Jesus went to the cross, he wasn't sad-faced. There was a joy. He's our example. We just read it, the joy that was set before him.
Hallelujah.
The joy of doing the Father's will. How many times did Jesus say that in the Gospel of John? Over and over, he said, I come not do my will, but the Father's will. When he was in the garden fighting his flesh, you know, is there any other way that I could accomplish this? Not my will, but your will. Because in that Father's will is you and I. The joy of salvation to many and to millions upon millions, saints.
Hallelujah.
Well, you have that. He is the example for you.
Amen.
You have your path. He said, you run your race. You run your path on your path just like I ran my race for you.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. It says, verse 2, or back to verse 2. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. That word looking means to look away. I think the Amplified Bible says it best. Looking away from all that would distract. Saints, your path is so important that the enemy will try to distract you endlessly. He is an adversary. He will try to distract you, harass you, whatever, to get you off your path and to get you doing your thing. You notice it says, lay aside every weight. Lay aside every weight. In other words, you could say this, distractions. Lay them aside. Distractions. Especially, and what the enemy has always did on... He'll try to bring up your past. He's big on this. Constantly, your past. What you remember what you did back in 1982? Or 1992? He'll bring up your past mistakes. Saints, it's under the blood.
Amen.
Under the blood. You need to fire right back. I don't remember it. Come on, I'm serious. You need to fire right back at him and say, I don't remember that. What are you talking about? I don't remember that. That's under the blood.
Amen.
Past mistakes. No, I'm on my path now. It's a path that the Lord has tailor-made for me.
Amen.
Marked out for me. I don't remember that. Hey, I travel light. I'm not going to take yesterday's garbage. Yesterday's past, I'm not going to carry that with me. That slows me up. And that's what he wants you. That's what he wants. He wants you to carry that baggage of yesteryears. All baggage. You know what they do to the baggage, don't you? You take it up to the front for the guys to pick it up. It's baggage. You're not carrying it. Unload it. Your blood covered, blood bought, man. You're on a new path.
Hallelujah.
God's got plans for you. They're good plans. They're plans for an expected end, a plans to prosper you. Plans for... Listen, you think God is so tiny that he is so insignificant that he can't pull you through? You have to remember that you're already in victory. You have to remember that you're not trying to get something. You're already in it. Well, I'm just trying to. I'm trying to get this victory. Well, Saint, I realize what you're saying. There is a walking it out. I realize that. But saints, you have to spiritually positioned. You are already in victory. It's a done. It's really a finished work.
Amen.
But there is a walking it out. Amen.
Amen.
Now you think about this. You think about what Abraham had to go through. Abraham had, was he perfect? Turn with me to Romans chapter 4. Let's look at this. Romans chapter 4. A lot of times we think, well, you know, but you don't know my situation. Listen, if Romans chapter 4, verse 19, Abraham wasn't perfect. He had an Ishmael, right?
Amen.
He messed up. He got ahead of God. Trying to do it in his own strength. See, that's a whole nother message, but he messed up. He's not perfect. He had his Ishmael. We're not perfect. We have not, all of us, saints, we have not arrived yet, have we? We're not there, but we left the station. We're on our way. Verse 19, it says, "And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years, since he was 100 years old, and he's dead in the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver," verse 20, "he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he is also able to perform." So there's two things I want to point out he's going to have to do. He's going to forget the past. And that means Ishmael was big. I guarantee you no one's made that big a mistake here. Massive. So you think you made a mistake? No. And number two, he's going to overcome present day condition.
Amen.
Old. Two things he's going to overcome in order to receive the promise. Could he do it? Can he do it? Read on, Pastor. Can he do it? Let me look at my notes here. Go to verse 20. He says, I'm just going to read out of the King James. I kind of like King James. King James, verse 20, says, "He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief." Now listen to what the ASV says. F.F. Bosworth pointed this out. This translation says, "By looking," this is verse 20, this is how he overcame, saints, and this is how we're going to overcome. "By looking unto the promise of God, he wavered not through unbelief." It says he looked by looking unto. In other words, he looked away in order to look to. He looked away from the past mistakes in order to look to the promise, the word. He looked away from the fact that he was old. He says he considered not his own body. He looked away from that to what? To the word, the promise of God. Did it work for him? Man, we needed to go a little deeper. It worked.
Amen.
It worked. Is there anything too hard for God? It's not too hard for him. We just got to get our focus right. What you focus on is what you gravitate to. He kept moving. The guy was old. You're not that old. You never had an Ishmael. This guy's done all that and he still keep on. He's trucking. He's got his eyes on the promise. And he keeps moving on. Saints, it's about keep on trucking. Keep on moving. Listen, James talked about a ship, right? We talk about this all the time, about the power of the tongue, and that the tongue is like the rudder on a ship. But I'm telling you.
Yeah, that's right.
I can get on that ship, and I can run that runner. I can turn that rudder all day long. It will not work if that ship is tied up at the dock. I can play on that rudder all day. I can get the grandkids on the ship. Turn the rudder 10 degrees to the left. We have fun with it. But the ship ain't moving. It's not station. It's stationary. The ship has to be moving. Saints, we got to be walking. It's a path of faith. It's the faith. Listen, the just shall live by faith, walk by faith. It's all by faith. You got to be walking it. You got to be a doer. The ship has to be moving. Well, I can't seem to get anything to work for me. Is your ship moving? Is it really moving? You got to ask yourself, is the ship moving or are you tied up at the dock? Well, what do you mean tied up at the dock? What does that mean? Well, for example, if I know the word and I never do it, it's tied up at the dock. You're going to have to step out and do it. Untie yourself from the dock and start doing what the word says. Start moving. It's all about movement, saints. It's about moving. Maybe I should just title this, Keep Yourself Moving. Move. Be prosperous. Advance. Hallelujah. We better turn to Psalms 23. The eyes are getting heavy. Psalm 23. So Abraham did it. Hallelujah. And again, saints, Psalm 23, it's about today. It's not about tomorrow. It's not about the past tense. It's today. It's present tense. This is where we live at. You know, a lot of times we say, well, you know, that's really good. He's prophesying this. David is prophesying this thousands of years ago.
That's right.
He's prophesying about Jesus' ministry as a shepherd in the time we live in right now. It's a precious time. It's precious. We should embrace it.
That's right.
Now get this, verse 23, it says, the Lord is, of course we talked about this a little bit before, so I'm not going into too much detail, but He is my, everybody say my. He's my shepherd. Very personal. Very personal. You have to get to know Him as your shepherd. That means spending time in the Word. And this again, I'm repeating myself, but this Psalm 23 is about prosperity. It's about moving on to your next level. It's about going on God's circuit, on your circuit, your path, and moving up to the next notch. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What's He saying? If He's my shepherd, He provides for me, He leads me, and He protects me. I have no want. He is my all in all. In Him we live, move, have our being. It's in Him.
Yes.
So, whenever you make Him your shepherd, He's taking responsibility to get you to the next level. Only thing you have to do, and saints, this gets real simple. All you have to do is just follow. Have you ever played Follow the Leader? The kids, you know? Just follow Him. He knows exactly how to get you there. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. The first step in prosperity, saints, the first step is the prosperity of the soul. He's got a list. Saints, His list of benefits are endless. He loads us daily. But the soul, He deals with the soul right off the bat. Because prosperity begins on the inside. It's inside, saints. If you're trying to do it the other way, you have a hard time. But if you allow Him to be a shepherd to you, allow Him to prosper you inwardly, then what's on the inside will start to manifest on the outside.
Come on.
Saints, this is where it begins.
That's right. That's
if we don't get this right. See, like prosperity, like in finances, you know, really, in all honesty, it's not a hard thing for God to get you money. I'm serious. It's not a hard thing for him to do that.
Amen.
The only question really is, are you mature enough to handle the increase?
Amen.
That's the story. Are you a steward of God's money?
That's right.
Are you a good manager of his finances?
That's right.
It all belongs to him. So he's got to get, in order to qualify you, to help you, because God is not going to give you money, it's going to hurt you.
That's right.
So he's got to prosper you. And how does he do that? But his word.
Amen.
See, James says, receive the engrafted word with meekness, which is able to save your souls. It's only the word. Your soul's messed up most of the time. You ever notice that? Or it can be, if you allow it. Your soul is your emotions, your will. You ever know sometimes your emotions get out of whack? All those things have to be kept under. Your body's got to be kept under, your emotions. Saints, if you don't have the word, all those, your soul will start acting really strange. It'll do things, then your body aside with it, then you got major problems. It begins, prosperity, your advancement begins with the advancement on the inside. It's the Word, number one. Number two, it's the Word. Number three, it's the Word. Yeah, one, two, three. Now, if you remember that, you're going to do fine. Saints, it's about the renewing of the mind, the transformation. All starts from the Word. Kenneth Hagin was big on this. Why was he so big on it? Because it gets you through it. The Word never changes. You may, listen, the gifts of the Spirit, we embrace them. We want them, right? But that's as the Spirit wills. The Word's always on. The Word is always light. The Word never changes. A lot of things, it says the Spirit wills, it's the gifts of the Spirit. It's Spirit wills. I don't want to go from miracle to miracle. I don't want to live that way.
Right.
If, well, Pastor Chuck, that sounds like a lot of fun going miracle to miracle. You're going from crisis to crisis. I'm serious. What kind of life is that? I just want to learn this faith walk, depend on Him, and have more than enough.
Yes.
I don't want, you know, there's a lot we can talk on that, but this is where it begins. He restores my soul.
Amen. That's right.
And I'm talking about, we got to keep moving. Saints, a shepherd cannot keep, and I got this written down, a shepherd, someplace, I don't know where it's at, a shepherd has to keep his sheep moving in a natural. If he doesn't, the sheep will not only eat the grass, but they'll eat the roots. So what does a shepherd do? He's got to keep them moving. Say, I got to keep moving.
Got to keep moving
on your path. God's got good things for us, saints.
Amen.
They're good things. God's a God of increase. He's not a God of decrease. And actually, I shall not want, that word want, you can look that up in your Strong's. And one of the words, is the definition is decrease. He's not a shepherd that leads you into decrease. He wants to take you up to another plateau, another level of prosperity. But it begins with the soul. Amen. Amen. That was very okay. Let's move on. Let's see. He restoreth my soul. He leads me. Continue on. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Saints, listen. He leads you. We all have it. Listen. The Bible says that Jesus, the Holy Spirit, leads and guides you in all truth. You have a GPS on the inside of you. You really do. That GPS will give you, just like a natural GPS gives you directions, right? But the thing of it is, I can't use your GPS in my vehicle. If I'm on the road, I call Pastor Jerry up. Pastor Jerry, I'm on this road. What does your GPS say? Come on, talk to me. Talk to me, Pastor. Come on. It's not helping me. Because I'm on my route. I'm going to depend on my GPS to get me where I need to go. The Bible says you have an unction, an anointing from the Holy One. You know all things. You have a knower on the inside of you. You have peace on the inside of you. That'll tell you a lot. There's a lot of mistakes I made. If I would have followed that peace on the inside, I wouldn't have made them. Right, hon? We made a mistake. I'm not going to go in detail. My wife did, not me. She made a mistake. But I said, I told her I was that close to saying no to the whole thing. Because why? Because I didn't feel at peace. Well, what'd you do, Pastor? What happened is I went on old information about 10 years ago. Oh, let me tell you what it is. The house we're in now, we built it. We had a company built it. We had information on this company years ago, and we did our diligence, due diligence, to find out everything about this company. So we were completely satisfied. Well, 10 years passed. I know it took a while for us to get to where we were. It took a while. But you got to keep going. You got to stick with it, saints. You got, you know, things just don't happen immediately. You just got to walk things out. Well, anyway, so 10 years, about 10 years passed. The information changed. Mm-hmm. We didn't do our diligence to see if it did or did not. We just assumed it stayed the same. But on the inside, I didn't feel quite right. And I told Joanne, I'm this close. I was that close saying no to the whole thing. But what I do, I went with the old information. Sometimes you can do a whole bunch of due diligence and it'll end up hurting you because you start to rely on your own understanding instead of going for the peace of God on the inside, acknowledging that peace. The Bible says let the peace of God, or let peace rule. Let peace, that word rule means govern. Peace of God wants to govern you from making mistakes. Well, we made a mistake. And I look back on that and I'm saying, man, why did I... It irritates me now to think about it. Everything worked out fine. You would never know it, but I know it. Just the fact that I did not listen to what was on the inside of me. Just that gentle tug. Well, you would think God would have said, don't do it! Don't do it! Stop! He don't do that. Did he knock the apple out of Adam's hand? Or whatever it was, grapefruit or whatever? It wasn't grapefruit. I don't think he'd eat grapefruit. I don't anyone eat that. It had to be a Red Delicious. God didn't stop him. He won't stop you. Holy Spirit's a gentleman. He will not stop you. You make your decision, and guess what? You're going to live with it. Now, he's merciful. He's merciful to us. Everything worked out fine, but it still irritates me that I didn't listen to the peace. I didn't allow that peace to govern me. So, follow that peace. allow God's peace to govern you. That's just one of the ways he directs your paths. If you don't get peace about it, don't do it. Don't mess with it. Drop it. You just got to move on. It says he'll lead in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Hallelujah. Let me go to my next page here. And we're not going to go a whole lot longer. I know you hate to see me whip out another page on you, but... It says, though I, verse 4, though I walk through the valley. You mean we got to walk through a valley? We walk through. I say we walk through. Well, I didn't know it was going to get this dark. I had no idea. You walk through. Listen, the children of Israel marched through the Red Sea. The three Hebrew children who were in the fire, you know, they had to go through the fire. There's some things we go through. But we don't put up a mailbox in the valley and camp out. Yeah, I got a mailbox in the valley. 101 Self-Pity Drive. Come and see me. Send me your cards.
Amen.
No, we got to keep moving.
Amen.
We're following the Good Shepherd.
Amen.
He's not stopping. He's not stopping.
That's right.
When I was a kid, I got time to say, I got. My dad would have me go to the store. In order to get to the store, you had to go through what we call the old mill. You know where it's at. The old mill and the old brick house. They were old buildings that my grandfather used to have. You had to walk by those in order to get to the store. And then you had to walk by them to get back home. Well, it's like Dad did this on purpose. It'd be towards the evening, towards dark, and he had me go to the store. 8 years old, 9 maybe. My brother and his friends would talk about how spooky those places were and that there was sounds that come from those buildings and that lights would come on. And of course, I believed it. And one time, I was by the mill, and I came across a snake. And I told this story before. And I started throwing rocks at the snake, and it came up. You know, like a cobra. You know what a cobra does? They come up like this. That snake is, well, it was a rat snake, what it was. But I threw a rock at it, and that snake went up.
Oh, boy.
I said, "Cobra." I took off running. I think I left my shoes behind. I was gone. Now my dad wants me to walk by there. Honey, there was no walking. It was running. But see, that's what the enemy will try to do. He put all kinds of images in your mind. It's dark. The boogeyman's out there. You get yourself into fear. You know, that's what he does. But there's the old saying, you know, a shadow of a dog cannot bite, right? They're just shadows. You move on. Got to keep moving on. No stopping. Don't take up residence. Don't camp. Let's move on. Hallelujah. He goes on to say, David said this, "I will fear no evil." Why? "Because thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff comfort me." Now think of this. David is saying this. He's saying, "My shepherd who goes before me carries a big stick." You ever seen Walking Tall? The original Walking Tall. I think it made remakes. Am I the only one? I'm probably too old. Back in the 70s, they came out with Walking Tall, a man called Walking Tall. If I recall, he had no gun, but he had a big stick. And he would just knock out window, or he did his work with the stick. Well, David's saying, "My shepherd has a big stick. It's called a rod." And this rod, I don't know, I never did get the actual dimensions on it, but it's a stick that's tapered on one end. I don't know, but I call that a Louisville slugger. Come on, you ever seen Sanford and Son? What's her name? Sister Esther, Esther come in and she would start preaching to Sanford, and he'd go to the closet, you know, open it, and chase Esther Sue out the house. Louisville Slugger. Saints were protected. David said, I take comfort in that. My shepherd has got the equipment to protect me. He protects me. And the shepherd also has a staff. What does the staff do? Well, the staff is for instruction. It's for correction. Sheep have a tendency to wander. So he gently, well, in my case, he kind of takes that hook and gently, come on, Ernie, get back in here. It's for correction. The staff, I've heard this said many times, it's the staff of grace. The word of grace, right? He corrects us. He doesn't beat us over the head. He doesn't use the rod on us. It's on the enemy. The staff is for correcting. He's a gentle shepherd. And he'll leave the 99, go after the one. Well, why would he do that? Well, if you use the one, you'd be glad. If you use the one, you'd rejoice, wouldn't you? He knows exactly what he's doing. Hallelujah. He's the good shepherd. Amen. I got to get this moving here. Amen. Where are we at? Verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. You anoint. Listen, look at that. It doesn't matter what the enemy's doing. God is bigger than all that. One translation said he put out a feast for you. Hallelujah. It says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. He provides everything I need. He's the shepherd. He provides. He's a provider. Years ago, we had when I lived at home, we had a dog. My brother brought home a dog. It was just a little dog, and her name was Daisy. You probably don't remember Daisy. Oh, you do? Well, Daisy was a little dog, and even when she was full grown, she was only knee high, below my knee. But you would feed her, and we noticed that she would growl if you stuck your hand down to her food bowl. And we thought that was funny. So we would tease her quite a bit. It was fun. But as the dog got a little older, matured, you really didn't want to stick your hand down in there. Those teeth, little Daisy's teeth, got bigger, sharp. And I was thinking about this, you know, that dog is kind of messed up. We feed you, we water you, we take you out, we give you shelter, we protect you. I am your master. But yet, if I stick my hand down to her bow, little Daisy would try to take it off. You remember little Daisy? She had an attitude problem. When I married Joanne, that dog did not come with me. That dog stayed with my younger brother. Now here's the thing. I walked out into my garage about 2 months ago, 3 months ago, within 6 months. And I even told Joe, I have not told anyone this. This is news, hot off the press. I went into the garage, and I'm always thankful. I don't take anything for granted. I'm very thankful. And I don't thank you over. You cannot do thankfulness. I walked into the garage, and you know, I got a 53 Ford tractor. It's reconditioned. It's pretty good shape. Wow. I looked at the tractor, and I said, you know, I kind of smiled at it. And then a voice came to me, or a knowing. A lot of times we say voices, but most of the time it's just a knowing. You just know. It's so clear that... Anyway, it said this. Well, the Lord said this. It was the Lord. He said, would you give that away? You know what I did? I just kept walking. I ain't kidding you. He got me. I was always thankful, but Lord's now saying, okay, would you give that away? Honestly, I could not say anything. I just went on out, buy it. I knew I couldn't deny it. I knew he had me. And I'm not even going to say the next day I said I would, you know, I'm still silent. But over a short period of time, I said, okay, you know, yes, Lord, I would give it away because it's just a tractor. It's a thing. It's a nice tractor. Really nice tractor. I like it. Play around with it, you know. Do I need it? No, but I like to play around with it. I like to look at it. It brings back memories. My dad, he had a tractor or something like that. It's fun. But if you want me to get rid of it, I have no problem with it. Honestly, I have no. It took me a while to get to that, but I'll let it go. Yeah. I'll get a bigger one. More horsepower. I'll get John Deere, like Mark's. Probably not. He's got a pretty good size one. I don't know if I'm going to get that big. But anyway, would you let go of it? See, if I would say no, I'd be like that little dog growling at the very hand that gave it to me. Growling at the hand that feeds me. He protects me. He leads me. And I want to growl at God and say, I don't think so. But, you know, he's my source. You know, your job, don't ever take your job as your source. Saints, listen, it's a resource. It's just a channel. Jobs come, jobs go. Come, and they go. God's your source. Now, he's got the job for you. Sometimes it takes a while for those things to come into place, but you just keep moving. You just keep moving. You don't look back. You don't look to the left. Or you just keep your eyes focused on him. And you just keep moving. He knows what. He knows exactly what he's doing. So don't ever look at your job of employment as quote, it. He's your source. And that never changes. Amen. Let's move on. It says, well, we got to move on. I'm running out of time here. In verse 6, goodness, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. He's got you covered, saints, from the front to the back. I'm on stories for some reason. I'm on stories, okay? I usually don't tell stories, but I had two German shepherds. You know German shepherds. A few years ago, we had a couple of German shepherds. And I would take my German shepherd. When I take my German shepherds out, they would stick to me like glue. Unless the kids were outside, then forget it. But if I would take them out and go out on that back field, we lived in Pike County, Pikeville, they loved every minute of it. And when they would hear a sound, those shepherds, their ears would perk up and their face would be directed to that noise. And I guarantee you, if anything came out, they were on it. They were intense. And I always thought this is amusing, or not only would they be locked in on something, but they would stay focused on that because they weren't sure what it was, right? It could be dangerous. They didn't know. So they would keep their face locked on it, their ears focused on that area. And then as they sat down, you've seen the shepherds, they sit down real slow. I don't know if you've been around German shepherds, but they sit down really slow when they're focused on something, as if they don't want to make any noise. It's a really slow. And they'll stay in that position, locked in. Goodness and mercy's locked in on you. They're not leaving. Paul, or actually, if you look into the Hebrew, it's mercy can be translated loving, tender, kindness. Is all locked in on you. And what it's doing, it's locked in on you and it's following you. In other words, you have to be moving. It's not locked in on just the idea you're at a stationary point. The whole idea of saints, listen, is about movement. It's about moving. If you get anything today, saints, picture yourself moving on your path, the good shepherd in front of you. It's a movement. And saints, listen, your movement, if you keep on path, obedience on the path is big. We didn't have time to talk about that. Obedience is big because you have to follow him. Why? Because the provision is with him. The provision, we read about the table, that's because of obedience. It's there. Why? Because you were obedient to follow the master. You're a good shepherd. Let me close with this. Did you get anything? I said before, saints, listen, you got to travel light. You're on your path. Don't carry yesterday's garbage. Don't leave it. Leave the past behind. I say this is probably number one thing that the enemy, the adversary constantly tries to bring up is your past. Leave it behind. Amen. Mistakes, other people's mistakes. You remember Samuel? Remember he was mourning over Saul? Remember that in 1 Samuel 16? He's mourning over Saul. God rejected Saul, and Samuel is in mourning, grief, over the fact that God rejected Saul. First of all, God's not mean. Saul rejected God first. Okay, God had to shut the door because he's a leader. You can't be playing around. Okay, it's another story. But anyway, it was Saul's decision, not God's. But I did some research on that, and Samuel mourned for Saul. Now, some scholars believe that he mourned for about 4 years. Think of that, if that's true. I don't know. I'm just taking it from the research I did, and how they came up with that number, I don't know. But even if it was 2 years, that's a long time. But they said four. And God finally interrupts Samuel. How long are you going to mourn over the past? How long are you going to allow what happened in the past? Like I said, it could have been 4 years. That's a long time. God's asking the question, how long are you going to mourn about it? In other words, God's saying it's time to get up. It's time to be filled with the Spirit, filled with the Word, get up and go. Why was that? Because God had other plans, right? There was another king that Samuel was to anoint. God had something better in store. God's got something better in store for you, saints. Your path in front of you, just look at it as those. The path I'm walking on, there's plateaus, and as I follow Him, prosperity comes my way. If I spend first time in His Word, acknowledging Him in all His ways, then He'll direct my path. As I spend time with Him, renewing my mind, renewing my soul, I start to prosper big time inside. And all that prosperity begins to show on the outside. Amen. And it'll take you to the next level. Psalm 23 is about timing. You never want to get in front of your shepherd. I know you say, well, I would never do that. But a lot of times we get so on fire for God, so much zeal, that we'll run ahead. I'll do it. I'm so excited to do things for Jesus. And I'll just go ahead and do it. Well, you got to make sure you're in the right time. Is that for someone? You got to be in the right timing. There's a timing. There's a rhythm to grace. It's just not you plowing through it with your strength. That is not grace. Grace is almost like a dance with the Holy Spirit. You're dancing with Him. You're flowing through with the rhythm. Timing is vital. Whenever you think, especially if you have a call in your life, you're trying to make things happen. Abraham tried to make things happen. He got in trouble. And so then he had to forget that and move on, right? So be cautious. I'm speaking to someone here on the internet. Be cautious. Don't try to get out ahead of the good shepherd. There's a timing. There's grace. I don't care if you're called to do this or called to do that. Just make sure you're in time. And flow with that rhythm of grace. God knows how to get you there. Just spend time delighting in Him. Spend time enjoying your salvation. Put a smile on your face. Come on. You can smile. We're in church. We can be happy.
Amen.
Saints, we got a lot to look forward to. But He's got to be first. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.